This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the Horror of Babylon podcast at gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to the Alienathon, episode 5, where we review AVP, or Alien versus Predator, or Dumb People Go to Chunk of Ice and Die.
That's a very apt description for this movie.
I am Ron. With me, as always, is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and...
Logan,
the full metal patron. And Ben, the fourth
patron of hope.
And Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, who sponsors the Alienathon. You can visit them at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and say hello to Ronald the Third, Grandpa's of Christmas, and they are just now opening a new location in Bovet Island, just off the coast of Antarctica.
That's a real place.
It 100% is a real place, yes. So here's Antarctica.
Oh.
Here's the tail end of South America.
I know my next vacation spot.
This is where, just outside of the Antarctic Circle, actually, which explains those scenes without coats. So our history with not only this movie, but our history with Predator, because that's not something we've discussed before. I'll let you go first.
Okay. I watched... my history with Predator started with the toys. They made a two-pack, which was the traditional black xenomorph and a Predator that you could buy together, and it came with a little comic book that had them fighting, didn't have a clear winner at the end, and it inspired
what?
The imagination.
What? There's a versus thing without a clear winner?
Oh, no.
Like, come on. Zack Snyder, help us.
Zack Snyder. You know what's funny is I think Snyder would actually make a pretty baller version of this movie. That's a whole different tangent.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the director they had didn't make a baller version of this movie, because I've seen him make...
This is the only movie of his I've seen, but we'll get to that.
Get back to that. And then my dad had the PC game, Alien vs. Predator, which let you play as a space marine, an alien, or a predator.
That's cool.
Predators, you could turn invisible and do stealth kills. And the alien, you could crawl on ceilings and disoriented you.
That's cool.
I could never figure out what to do as a kid, but it was always fun to me. You know, super...
I had that issue a lot with video games as a kid.
Well, they... I think they were called Kenner toys. I think that's the line that did the aliens and the Predator toys. I collected both of them.
And the original Star Wars toys.
And I'd make them fight, or I'd... pose them or come up with entire storylines. And they did the arcade game, which also had space marines you could play as, which whoever did, you pick the predators, play as the predators, you beat some xenomorphs around, you have a good time. Lots of comic lines. I had 3 or 4 different comic lines of Alien versus Predators. Then I saw the Predator movie after all that. And it was a lot different than what I was expecting, because it sort of played like a slasher movie, only with big buff action heroes as the victims instead of teenage girls.
Yeah.
So, it appeals to my latent homoeroticism, but...
It's not my type of dude.
My type of dude is either that or femboy. There's no in between.
I like the silver fox.
Yeah.
The graying beard and... Yeah. Like, the guy I know who's going to, like, put my kids to bed every night. Not the guy who runs
Humbert around. Humbert.
No. Not like the guy who runs around in the jungle going, to the chopper, blah, 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 blah. We'll talk about him.
Come get to me.
And then your history with Avp.
I heard that the movie was happening, and I got a little nerd boner because it's like one of those things. They talked about doing it for so long, and you'd always hear this wasn't pre-internet age, but it was Daniel's not addicted to being online and being able to sift through rumors age, mm-hmm. where you hear it in whispers it was happening all the time, and now it's actually happening. You see the trailer, and you're super stoked. You don't know who the director or the actors are, because I wasn't invested in that sort of stuff back then.
I still don't know who the actors are.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes these days you'll see something and go, oh, I know that guy. Back then, I was just like, I don't care who they get for this. I'm going to see the aliens and the predators.
Yep.
And then I went and saw the aliens and the predators.
So did you not like it even as a kid?
Even as a kid, I thought of about a million different things I could do differently or would have done differently. There's a lot of reasons for that we'll get into. I was a lot more apologetic for it back then.
I think it could have been mostly fixed with one change.
I can't wait to hear it.
I think it's a pretty simple one. Okay, I've never seen this movie before, although I realized that as I was watching it, I had heard about the premise for this somewhere. Maybe, I think a lot of my friends went and saw this when it came out.
Yeah.
And I was just...
not interested.
Yeah, I was not interested. Because the pyramid under ice thing was like, oh, I've heard about this. Like, I have some familiarity with this concept.
Yeah.
Predator... I also had a Predator toy, and I had a Xenomorph toy. I don't remember a comic, but I'm wondering if I got them together. But I didn't have any others. I just had a Predator and a Xenomorph. Saw the first movie in, I think, high school, probably like 9th, 10th grade, somewhere around there. Was not a big fan, just not my particular type of movie. And I remember, like, it was right, like, we finished it. Whoever I was watching it with said, all right, let's do the second one. And they put in the second one, and I said, no, we're good.
I love both of those movies.
I don't.
Not your thing.
They're just not for me.
Yeah.
This is my next experience with Predator 15 years later or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
The vampires are pure myth, superstition. I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
Background, this film was released on August 12th, 2004, which means it just had its 19th anniversary. It'll have its 20th anniversary next year. This is the fifth Alien film and third Predator film. It is, at the same time, a sequel to the Predator films and a prequel to the Alien films, and sort of a spin-off of both.
Yeah.
It was directed, and the screenplay was written by Paul William Scott Anderson, or as he's credited,
Paul W.S. Anderson,
who is known for video game adaptations, did the 1995 Mortal Kombat film, the 2020
Fantastic.
The 2020 Monster Hunter film, and I don't know all the
Resident Evil movies.
So there's only six?
Yeah.
Because I counted six? Okay. Yeah. I have seen literally nothing this man has done except for this movie.
He did a movie called Event Horizon, which, if you see that movie, and you would think that he could do a much better version of this movie.
Anyone who could convince the studio to make it an R-rated film can do a better version of this movie.
And Event Horizon is a very gory, very R-rated science fiction movie.
The concept for this film originated in the 1989 comic book written by Dee Stradley and Chris Warner. It adopted elements of the novel series with the character Machiko Noguchi, and has several elements from the Alien vs. Predator comic series. And the H.P. Lovecraft book, At the Mountains of Manus, served as the inspiration for this film.
Yep.
Now, this film had a budget between $60 and $70 million and took in $177.4 million.
So a modest turnaround there.
Yeah, I mean, they made a second one.
Yep.
And, of course, vs. Predator Requiem came out so many years after. So, apparently, post-Alien Resurrection and pre-Alien vs. Predator, James Cameron was working on Alien 5. At the same time, Ridley Scott was trying to get a green light for his Alien origin movie, which would become Prometheus.
Yep.
When Alien vs. Predator was green light, James Cameron said, "I'm done. I quit." This is his quote. He believed that the film would kill the validity of the franchise. He ceased to work on the story, and he said, "To me, that was Frankenstein meets werewolf. It was Universal just taking their assets and starting to play them off against each other, milking it." And then apparently, this is the funny part, after actually watching Alien vs. Predator, James Cameron remarked, "It was actually pretty good. I think of the five Alien films, I'd rate it third. I actually liked it. I liked it a lot." And then Ridley, when in an interview, Ridley Scott said he had no interest in the Alien vs. Predator films. He was asked in an interview in May 2012 if he had watched them, and he laughed and said, "No, I couldn't do that. I couldn't take that step."
that makes a certain level of sense, because even though I don't like Prometheus, when you watch it, you can tell he's taking the film seriously.
I gotta tell you, after watching Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection and Alien vs. Predator, what I remember, Prometheus is so much better than all of those movies. But we'll
get to that. Yeah. Bury the leads.
Apparently, in Predator 2, there's an alien skull
in the background, and that's what
in the trophy case.
It's been and ever since then, it was fueling rumors of this movie.
There was a draft written of the script for this movie written by James DeMonaco and Kevin Fox that was described as a word-for-word adaptation of the Dark Horse comic.
Huh.
And it was rejected by the producers, and they wanted it to take place on Earth. That was a goal that they had. And a couple fun factoids. Arnold Schwarzenegger was willing to reprise his role as Major Alan Dutch Schaefer from Predator in a short cameo if he lost his upcoming election, and on the condition that they would film it at his residence, but he won his re-election to governor and was unable to cameo in this film.
Wow.
Sigourney Weaver said that she was happy not to be in the film in any possible crossovers. Any possible crossover was the reason she wanted her character to die in the first place, and she thought the concept sounded awful.
This is the woman who went back for Alien Resurrection.
I like Alien Resurrection more than this movie. Granted, it's
me, they're like on the same level.
Yeah.
They're like right around each other.
Yeah. It's like, do you want your turd sandwich or your barf sandwich?
Yeah.
But some things in Alien Resurrection made me laugh.
Yeah.
At
least barf has been food more recently.
Yeah, that Alien Resurrection is the barf sandwich.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
Structure and themes. I remembered none of Predator. Like, I even forgot about, like, the shoulder gun.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it until they got the gun and put it on a show. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. That's, like, their thing.
That's, like, the big thing.
Yeah, so just, like, educate me about how this fits into Predator lore and what aspects of Predator is here.
Okay. Let me, in brief. Let me lean forward. Predators basically take their vacations to Earth to hunt. Okay. It's a lot more, like, tribal and cultural to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you like, get into the extended universe
like
stuff.
Like what we do with deer?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, we go out into the woods.
But that's basically it. This movie kind of turned it into...
Not you and I, but...
That episode where Hank has to take Bobby to get his deer.
Mm-hmm.
These predators are Bobby. They have to come and become a man.
Every 100 years.
And there's stuff like that in some of the comic books. But for the most part, like the first two Predator movies, they basically just show up to Earth to hunt things that look fun to kill. They prefer things that are dangerous. They usually won't kill anything without a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like super explicit most of the time, and that's why they're targeting things like soldiers in Predator 2. They go to an inner city and start like picking off gangs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was That's basically what the Predators are. It's, hey, you guys want to go over to Earth for a weekend?
This is the first time that I had actually, like, really looked the design of a Predator since high school.
Yeah.
And I went back and forth between thinking, like, these guys look super stupid, and thinking, they kind of look like reggae Klingons.
I think that the biggest problem with Predator designs is ever since Predator 1, mm-hmm. they've over-exaggerated a lot of the features. And Predator 1, and that wasn't even the original Predator design. They filmed like a whole bunch of stuff with this one Predator design, thought it looked stupid and changed it. It added the mandibles and like the more tribal looking stuff. The original Predator was like muscular, mm-hmm. but was very sort of ripped and sleek. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of, ever since then, they've tried to make them bigger, so it looks more rubber suity.
To make them look like Arnold.
Yeah. And the mandibles used to be like these like little clicky things, because that's what
they
mandibles...
They were huge in this movie.
And ever since the first movie, each one, they get bigger each time.
Bigger's better.
Yeah. So, if you want my opinion on like Predator designs, it peaks in the first movie, and they didn't understand why it worked. So they try to exaggerate the features each time going forward. The helmets become more like ornate and decorative, where before it was just, you know, it was like wearing a ball cap for them. It's their little safety helmet. They put it on, they can see where the guys are.
Yeah.
But now they're like big skull shaped things.
Yeah, they're Mandalorian Klingons.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Alien, obviously I can speak to that.
You're an expert now.
Well, I can speak to that a little more than I can speak to Predator, but what are your thoughts on the Xenomorphs and their this adaptation of Xenomorphs?
I can't remember who said it. Oh, no, it was up here where they were insistent it takes place on Earth. Mm-hmm. Don't like that they've ever been to Earth before the Alien movies.
Why?
I believe... It's not like anybody knows, but to me that seems like a far future discovery, and that's how I always associate it when I'm watching those movies, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they've always been here. Yeah. And that's probably sort of weird for me, because I even like ancient civilizations being buried and the horrors underneath, but they took that Lovecraftian idea and went, Xenomorph.
I don't think this was intentional.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of fits the indigenous tribal theme.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, Columbus discovered America and discovered these people living, and they weren't discovered, they were already there.
Yeah.
They've been there for thousands of years.
We just added white people.
Ellen Ripley discovered this alien species. She didn't discover them, they already existed. It's not like they popped into thin air when she found them. And she didn't even find them, people found them, but I don't know. I thought it worked. Okay, so how does this or does it not, and this you kind of already partially answered this, but fit into the Alien and Predator canons?
It can fit if you want it to, is how I've always described it. It doesn't really contradict anything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you could, if you want this movie to be part of your canon, you can just take it and go, it's right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that thematically, the way those movies are kind of usually filmed and shown, it feels out of place.
I feel like there are... I'd have to count, but I feel like the Alien films with these themes that you like are the minority, not the majority.
You remember when I said I like two of these movies? Even compared to Aliens, a mm-hmm. James Cameron movie, this movie feels very Hollywood to me. Mm-hmm. It feels a lot more like a movie instead of I'm sitting here trying to experience a story or a universe somebody created. I'm very aware of its movie-isms.
It felt very much like a 2004 movie to me. Like, it's not, aside from like a handful of things, it's not like the best, it's not my favorite decade for movies.
It felt very studio-y, you know what I mean? Where they went, we need this scene in here. And the producer goes, well, we want this reference, and we need this sort of character archetype.
I'm sure they made a PG-13 because they wanted to release toys and they wanted more kids to be able to go and see it. And honestly, money-wise, that probably was the correct choice, because this, to me, this feels like the perfect movie for like a 6th, 7th grade year old boy.
Yeah, this seems like something that the vast majority of them would like.
So honestly, that if your MO is profit, that probably was the correct choice. If your choice, if you wanted to make a quality Alien Predator film, I think it should have been R. And because I reacted to basically nothing that happened in this movie.
Yeah, it's very sanitized.
Mm-hmm.
The Predators kill people and they hang them like you hang deer meat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Predator movie, all those people are skinned alive. So you, well, in this, they're all in their nice winter coats because we can't have a skinned alive or they're dead skinned body hanging upside down, dripping blood and showing off the muscle tissue, which the Predators might eat. It's sort of unclear.
Yeah.
Make some people jerky.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Let me pull up the IMDb, because again, I didn't know any of these characters' names.
I've seen this movie probably 10 times, and I still don't know any other names.
I know Bishop.
Yeah. Waylon.
Yeah, Waylon Bishop is... I think that's his name. So, who I had written down as Antarctica Lady is... Alexa Woods, played by Sana Lathan.
I'm going to call her Antarctic Lady.
I think that's what I had. The Antarctica Lady.
Yeah, the Antarctica Lady.
I thought it was a cool idea of a character, like a person whose job it is to take scientists on expeditions to
Antarctica. Yeah, a person who knows how to navigate territories.
And I'll use this to say, I actually thought the beginning of this movie was kind of strong.
Yeah.
I liked the, like, Jurassic Park vibe of we're gathering all these specialists to go on this expedition.
The strength of this movie is in its, I was going to say origins, at the beginning.
Yeah, I like the premise. I like the beginning. I like the lore and the backstory of the temple.
Yeah.
But it's just everything else. Yeah. Just like,
it's the aliens and the predators where it falls apart.
This is the worst part. Okay, what do you think of our protagonist?
She is a perfectly acceptable protagonist. She is basically a watered-down version of every human character from the Alien vs. Predator comics.
Yeah, she was fine.
Yeah, and that's what I have to say about a bunch of these people is there's a version of them that exists in the comic counterparts that's done a little better.
I wish we would have gotten to see a little bit more of her Antarctic expertise come into play. Granted, like, how much of that are you going to use in a pyramid under the ice, but...
Especially when, like, the way down there's already been paved for you.
Yeah. I thought her best scene was when she said, no, I'm not taking you to that. That's stupid.
You will all die.
You will all die. And granted, that's what happens. Maybe she should have stuck to her guns, but whatever.
You have velociraptors? It was one of those moments.
Yeah,
it was like, exactly. Why are you that stupid Jurassic Park moment?
It felt... There were a lot of very Jurassic Park-esque scenes in this. Okay, and then her predator boyfriend. Did you think they were going to do it? I thought they were going to do it.
I feel like in the universe where this was an R-rated movie, they had a sex scene on the ice.
Yeah, like when he like takes off mask,
and
they're just like staring at each other. I'm like, are they gonna kiss?
And then they fucked.
And then they fucked. I'm like, what is going on? Okay, so these are like teenage, like young predators who are like here to like prove themselves.
Earn their stripes.
Yeah.
Which, as far as you know, in Predator 1 and 2 isn't really that much of a thing. But in this, they made it sort of a thing, and in some of the comics, it's a thing.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Okay, Scar is the main alien... The one that...
The main predator. Yeah.
The one that doesn't get killed.
The one that doesn't get murked like he's a pussy.
I mean, he does eventually.
Yeah, but he takes out so many more.
Yeah, he does.
Even before he gets his cannon.
Yeah.
That's a whole different discussion, so... But, I thought he was perfectly fine as far as predators go.
Played by Ian White.
But I've also seen... This isn't against the actor. This is, like, story-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Way better or more interesting predators.
Yeah, I mean... he did predator things.
Something that comes up in at the end of the movie after Scar dies.
Mm-hmm.
And the like tribe predator elder hands the woman a spear. That happens in a bunch of Predator comics, and also started in Predator 2, where if you kill a Predator, or if you prove yourself to a Predator, they give you a weapon. Hmm. It's like a parting gift.
What I thought was cool about how she progressively kind of started to physically resemble one.
Yeah.
Like, the way they made her hair, like, poof out and go to the side to kind of look like a Predator.
The only thing that I liked all of that. The only thing I didn't like throughout this entire movie, and again, this feels very Hollywood-y to me, is she's walking around with an alien head like a shield. And to me, it just looked goofy.
I liked it.
Yeah. I like the spear made from the tail.
I've had that thought separately. Like,
yeah.
I was wondering if those skulls are hard enough to use as a shield. And it looked very Power Rangers to me.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. It looked very Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm. That was cool. Okay, yeah, so let's do the other alien. So the main, aside from the queen, the main alien was Grid.
Yeah.
Played by Tom Woodruff Jr.
Who murks two predators.
Which was pretty sweet.
I liked the first one getting murked, because it showed off what the alien strength is, which is stealth, hiding in the shadows, taking somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a big superhero boss fight between him and the buff predator.
Which was not as great.
I thought that was pretty goofy.
Yeah.
Especially watching it now. We brought up Zack Snyder before, and it had all those slow motion shots.
But a good physical performance.
No, yeah, he just did a good job.
Bishop's dad. So, Lance Hendrickson is the only actor from either franchise to not really reprise their role, but
to come back. Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoyed the tie-in, at least to the continuity.
There's the one line that always sticks out to me. It's about the only thing I remember about this movie. Mm-hmm. Is when she's saying, "You can't come with us. You have cancer," or whatever. And she tells that story about her dad, and he's like, "Is that what you think your dad remembers? The pain, or having a beer with his daughter at 14,000 feet?"
That is cool.
And I was like, that line always sticks out to me, because I'm like, you know what? That is probably more where his mind was.
I would hope.
Yeah. I kind of just like that about his character, even though he was rich billionaire douche.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good at reading people and knowing what to say to them to get what he wanted.
And I kind of like the idea of, like, I'm gonna die. Let me try to accomplish, like, one more great thing before I die.
Other than stock market prices.
Yeah, and something that I'm going to enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And take the memory with me.
A real adventure.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
And he got it.
Yeah, and, like, I'd rather get by a predator there than have a slow death of cancer in a hospital.
Tries to take it out with the makeshift flamethrower.
Maybe not getting skinned alive.
Yeah. Usually they kill you and then they skin you.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. I don't turn your back on me.
And that was one of the things when predators don't view you as a threat, they sort of just ignore you because you're not worthy of the hunt.
They did, like, the x-ray thing and saw his heart was like, oh, it's not worth killing.
Yeah. And why would it bother? Because that's not what their hunts are about.
Mandalorian Klingons.
Yeah. They don't hunt deer, they hunt bears. That's the only example I can think of, is when you decide to purposefully hunt something dangerous.
Deer are dangerous if you're not shooting at them from 30 yards away. So if you had to, like, hunt a deer with a knife,
yeah,
then that'd be or a rock.
I would even say it's almost like going bow hunting against grizzly bears.
There's this episode of The Office where Michael has to fire somebody, and he tries to fire somebody, and they talk him out of it. And they talk him into firing somebody else. Yeah. And it does one of the cutaways. And the interviewer's like, "Have you ever gone deer hunting?" And he said, "Yeah, I went deer hunting once. Shot it in the leg. Had to kill it with a shovel. It took about an hour and a half."
That sounds awful.
Okay. Alien Queen?
It was an Alien Queen.
It was an Alien Queen.
Very much reminded me of that, of the end of Aliens, just not done as well.
Yeah.
Oh, we got rid of all of them. Here's the queen.
Yeah.
Which, that bomb literally destroys everything underground. Mm-hmm. Every other alien. It shows every... Like, how much did it explode, but that was still able to get away?
That girl, does she have, like, a way off? Like,
yeah, no, I was gonna wait for that.
Is she just, like, dead now? She's just freeze to death?
Here's a spear. Good luck. I mean, I guess the equipment's still there.
Maybe she could salvage it.
Like, the boat and maybe radio for help.
And if she could just, like, find a structure to stay warm, presumably... After they didn't check in after so long, they would send someone out.
The predators left all of their meat there.
Yeah.
So she could eat some people.
I'm going to mention this now, too, because this pertains to the bomb, because this drove me absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm missing something and you can explain it to me. So I really like the lore and the explanation of what the temple was, but there's one thing that I didn't get. So the origin of the island was that there was a temple there. The predators would come. They'd have their trial, and then a predator died, and he set off a bomb to take everybody and, like, destroyed the whole civilization there on that island.
Yeah.
Who wrote those hieroglyphs explaining that the dude was reading, if they all died?
The producer wrote that. The producer wrote that and said, hey, we need the big backstory so people know what's going on, because the audience is too dumb to get it.
I figured out the whole thing and, like...
Yeah, because people aren't stupid.
Yeah, it's like...
But Hollywood thinks we're stupid.
As soon as, like, all the doors slammed shut and the eggs came up, I'm like...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because, I get it.
Because people are not nearly as dumb as Hollywood thinks we are.
It's like... But as soon as they said... He's, like, reading the hieroglyphs, and then the bomb went off and killed everybody. I'm like, then who wrote the hieroglyphs?
Yeah, who wrote this one?
Yeah.
Was just one dude left who didn't get killed by an alien or the bomb? Did that bomb not also destroy this temple, and they keep using this one also?
Yeah, I know. It's like, what the fuck?
It raises more questions than an ant.
I'm gonna... Another thing that drove me crazy. So, the main character lady and the archaeologist guy.
Yeah.
They kept... Once everybody else was dead, they're like, we just gotta make sure they don't make it to the surface. We gotta do everything we can.
And then totally Team Predator.
But here's the thing. Like, why would it matter if the aliens made it to the surface of this island in Antarctica?
Yeah. Just cordon off the island.
I mean... Yeah,
bomb it.
What are they worried about? That they're going to jump off the island and swim to South America?
I know it's a dumb action Hollywood movie. But the logic falls apart the more you think about it.
You're not supposed to overthink it. You're just supposed to enjoy the guns blazing.
But the movie keeps calling attention to these things.
And also, like, the action aspect are not that great.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of... horror movies, sci-fi, action movies that I like, where if you pick it apart, it doesn't make sense, but the visual aspect of it is so entertaining, I don't care.
Yeah.
This is not one of them.
Same.
Okay, so just finishing up characters, I mean, there's the archaeologist guy, there's the dude with the camera and his kids, I kind of like that guy.
He was sort of funny, so I didn't mind him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these characters literally just existed to be a body count.
Yeah.
Which is...
It's fine.
It's fine, but I prefer it when you like the body count, because that makes you feel something, where 90% of these people you could tell were, okay, random soldier number 1, 2.
You care a little bit about the Antarctica lady because you learn a little bit about her.
Yeah.
You care about the dude with the camera a little bit just because you know he has kids and he's kind of funny.
The kids thing is sort of a cheap little easy one, but him being funny is... A character thing, which you can kind of attach yourself to, like putting up the camera, getting scared of a penguin. That's a moment.
Yeah, but I mean, that's really it. I guess you get a little background with the archaeologist guy, but I didn't give a shit.
Not nearly enough. Oh no, I had a dig that went bad.
Mm-hmm.
If that dig should have gone worse for us to care.
Yeah, and like, if I got kicked off a dig because I dug up a Pepsi cap, I probably would not make a necklace out of it.
And
I guess it's a reminder of your failure, but...
That also... Again, this is probably me overthinking. Weyland is literally going out of his way to hire the best.
So why do you hire that guy?
So why do you hire the dude that got fired for not being able to do his job?
Well, He wouldn't have known that he was fired.
Yeah.
Because the Wayland guy was already there.
But so maybe he did something before.
He probably had something before. He wrote, like, a really good book that he read, or...
Because Wayland even goes out of his way to hire someone that would be shitty at the ice job. Mm-hmm.
Just to go.
I thought it was like a manipulative thing too. Mm-hmm. He purposely hired somebody worse to make her stay. But maybe that's just me giving the movie too much credit.
I mean, it says he tried to hire two other people and they both said the same thing she said.
Yeah.
I'll kill you all! I'll drive you crazy and I'll kill you all! I'm every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Okay, let's keep going. Scary shit. Is this movie scary?
No. Is this movie entertaining?
Mostly no.
If I was 12, maybe.
There's a couple things I like, but mostly no.
Mostly no.
It's not... The best I can say is it's not nearly as depressing as Alien 3, and it doesn't murder Newt. That's the best I can say in its defense.
Alright. Those are pretty good defense. I think it doesn't murder Newt is like our new go-to.
So effects, there's a mixture of practical
and CGI.
The practical effects are decent. Yeah. They're not revolutionary.
There are times where it lingers too much and it becomes very rubber suity.
CG is not good, but I would not expect it to be good in 2004.
Yeah.
It was better than Alien Resurrection, which was better than Alien 3, so they're progressively getting better. Better in Requiem, and I know it's better in Prometheus and Covenant, so... I mean, there's just not a lot to say. It's... What was how you put it? It was very...
Hollywood?
Sanitized.
Yeah, it's very sanitized.
It's very, like, I would be comfortable with Drake watching this movie. Like, except he would probably want to be a predator and try to attack me, but...
Yeah. Which is, it's so funny because both of these franchises were known for and popular because they were violent. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as violent as some things that come out, but comparatively speaking...
We said the same thing for Resurrection, too, because it just felt like it was toned down a lot compared to the previous three.
And the tone, even, like, Predator's tone, even though it leans more into the action, mm-hmm. but Alien 1, 2, 3, and Predators 1 and 2, there is a sense of dreariness to those films that people enjoyed, because it emphasizes that you don't have a chance. That's where the fear is supposed to come in.
Yeah. I 3 was too much, liked Resurrection just because it was so different, and now in AVP, I'm like, but you need some of that.
Yeah.
Like, 3 was too much.
3 was way too much.
4 was too little, but we need...
You need some of that, because otherwise it feels more like a parody of these.
And this is where, again, where, like, I'm thinking in my head, I don't think Prometheus is that bad, but I... We'll get there.
I mean, compared to this movie, it's not that bad.
Kiss me, fat boy!
Kiss me, fat boy. Do you ship the Predator with Antarctic Lady?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought in my head that she was going to get on the ship with them. That was how it was going to end.
What would a Predator human baby look like? That is a thing in some of the comics.
You know that guy we play Magic with who...
Excuse me.
That's okay.
I shouldn't have laughed at that. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
To Kings and Koontz, my king, I guess, is just the pyramid and the lore and the premise.
My king is building the team, like the beginning parts of the movie where I'm putting a team of experts together.
Yeah, I like that too.
Which is also good because you want the people going in to be experts on things. so that you feel like they know what they're doing, and, oh, these people are highly skilled.
And then my Kuntz is, I understand why, and even, like, agree why from a financial perspective why it's PG-13, but for my personal enjoyment, I think if it would have gotten an R rating, I would have liked it a lot more.
I think if it, I honestly think it probably would have made more money if it had an R rating too, because the teenagers whose parents didn't care and still took them would probably have watched it more times because it would have been entertaining. Mm-hmm. If they would, if they just would have made a good movie, they probably would. It would have been more profitable. But this very felt like a movie by committee, where they were making decisions based off a spreadsheet.
Well, that's how we do it in the corporate world.
Yeah.
I wish that Wikipedia also said, this was the budget, this was the box office, and this is how much they made off of toys.
Yeah.
Because that would be like a lot of, would be like, oh, they, well, they doubled the money. But they made how much off of toys?
The merchandising, yeah. Star Wars always can fall back on merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Aliens or the Predator franchise can always fall back on merchandising.
No, but I'm sure, like, they did well. Like, yeah. I had a Xenomorph and a Predator, and I watched neither of these movies as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my Kuntz. What's your Kuntz?
Oh, just all the logic falls apart in the movie.
Yeah.
It just, like, it's a movie where if you sit there and you think about anything for more than 2 seconds, it starts to fall up. It becomes worse each time you think about it.
So of the first five, James Cameron said third favorite, which I'm guessing, this is just a guess, I'm guessing Aliens is his favorite, Alien is his second favorite, and then AVP, then whatever.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm ranking it at number 4 of the Alien films, above Alien 3 and below Resurrection, Aliens, and Alien. But overall, I'm putting it at number 63, below Phantoms and above Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I like how, like, you remember when we thought nothing would be worse than Phantoms?
Yeah. Phantoms, not so, ain't that bad. No, it's still pretty bad, but.
I guess I'll put it above Alien 3 because it didn't kill Newt. So Winnie the Pooh, Blood Honey, you're climbing the rankings.
It's not even your least favorite movie of 2023 anymore.
Yeah.
All right, homework. So top five,
let me pull my
crossovers. Not a typical top five. I gave Daniel a warning on this one because I thought it would be hard. I tried to come up with my top five crossovers on the spot for me, and I wasn't able to do it, so I decided not to do that to you. So I gave us both about a day to prepare for this. And I do have a couple honorable mentions when you're ready.
I mean, I had a shit ton. If we could do honorable mentions, I'll listen to yours. You can listen to mine.
Okay. And then I set a rule for myself.
Yeah.
I did not count things that are generally considered crossovers, but take place within the same franchise and continuity.
Yeah.
No Justice League, no Avengers.
Yeah.
No Star Trek Generations.
I did the same thing. Okay. I thought it needed to be something like
two different
franchise is.
Yeah. So my honorable mentions are every Scooby-Doo team-up, Super Smash Brothers, Ralph Breaks the Internet, the Lego Batman movie, and Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy.
Mine are almost every DC crossover with, like, other big-name franchises.
Ninja Turtles. Ghostbusters.
The ones I specifically did were Star Trek with Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a Green Lantern Planet of the Apes
is out there.
I want to read that.
It's very good. And I'm pretty sure once the Godzilla Justice League crossover comes out, it's Godzilla, King Kong, and Justice League. That'll be on there.
That'd be good.
So that's pretty much my honorable mentions.
Okay. Five. Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan.
Okay, that's pretty good. My number five is Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman.
The movie that the Ridley Scott, or not Ridley Scott, James Cameron was bashing in the background section.
I mean, that sort of paved the way for the idea of cinematic universes as we know it, for better or worse.
My number four is the comic Star Trek X-Men, almost purely for the part where Dr. McCoy and Beast meet, and somebody says Dr. McCoy, and they both turn.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. My number four is Johnny Bravo with Scooby-Doo. Because to this day, I still ship him with Velma.
Yeah. Velma can do better. Number three, Batman versus Bigby, A Wolf in Gotham. Now, I was actually a little torn on this one because traditionally Fables is a Vertigo title.
Yeah.
Which I feel like, and I'm not an expert on this, but I feel like sometimes that is the same continuity as DC and sometimes it's not.
They are super wishy-washy with it. I shall allow this.
Okay. They're not Vertigo anymore because Vertigo doesn't exist. Now the new Fables comics are DC Black Label, not Vertigo, but whatever. Number three.
Marvel versus Capcom. It's one of my favorite video game series. Super fun to play. Always get, with the exception of 4, got some pretty good character rosters.
I only played the PS3 one. I think that's this 3.
Yeah.
That was fun, though. Number 2. It's The Simpsons Season 26, Episode 6, Simpsorama, the Simpsons Futurama crossover.
Not the Family Guy one?
I have not seen it. I will probably never see it. It's probably the one piece of Simpsons content I will never watch. Because they did that opening where Quagmire basically rapes Marge. And I was like, nope, not interested.
Yeah, you're going to hate my number two.
Is this?
No, I'm kidding. My number two, this one is probably the crossover everyone was waiting for. It warmed the hearts of millions when Mr. Peanut Butter finally got his crossover for Mr. Peanut Butter's House meets Horsin' Around.
What the hell are you talking about?
This is from BoJack Horseman.
Oh. Okay. I thought you were going to say your number two was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
That would have been good.
When Mr. Peanut Butter met Mr. Chocolate and the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup was born.
Oh, that would have been even better. There's a running gag in BoJack Horseman. It's about a guy who's just not an actor, not working anymore. Mm-hmm. He used to do a big sitcom. Another dude who did...
I watched the first two or three. You made me.
Yeah, another dude also did a sitcom, which was basically a ripoff of a show. But every time he sees him, he's like, what is this, a crossover episode? And then they finally did a crossover episode of those shows.
That's funny.
In like the last season.
When I thought of it, was so obvious that it had to be number one because it's the ultimate crossover and like nothing else can ever touch it. Number one crossover absolutely has to be Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That's not bad. That's not a bad answer. Mine is Superman versus the Amazing Spider-Man. How did you get so hard? You really are getting harder. Those are quotes from it.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I thought yours was going to be Sadako versus Sayako.
That was in the running. Sadako versus Kayako.
Yeah.
I think it's very funny. My feelings about it are similar to Asp. It's very Hollywoodified or like studioified, but not as bad, is how I would describe it.
So that's our top five crossovers. For further reading, maybe Freddy versus Jason? I don't
know. Oh, if you want the good version of this movie, watch Freddy versus Jason. Or the entertaining version of this movie.
I mean, I don't remember. I've seen Freddy versus Jason, but I saw it when it was in theaters, and I haven't seen it since.
It's this movie, but it lets them do the kills.
The only thing I remember about Freddy vs. Jason is the literal end where Jason is walking out of the water and has Freddy's head, and Freddy's still alive.
And they have a definitive winner.
Batman?
Yeah. Aliens versus Batman.
Yeah, I want to read that.
Aliens versus Superman.
I will read that, too. I'm not a Superman fan, but I do pick up the occasional Superman book and read it.
Yep.
And I will read Aliens and Superman versus, or no, I'm sorry, I will read Batman and Superman versus Aliens and Predator.
Awesome.
Cool.
Q.
All right. Upcoming on the Horror of Babylon this Sunday, is our episode on Legion by William Peter Blatty.
Ryan's new favorite book.
We spoke longer about Alien versus Predator than we did about Legion.
There's more to say.
So bad.
Good or bad, there's more to say about this movie.
And then next Sunday, we are reviewing The Exorcist II, The Heretic.
I think there might be more to say on that, too.
I've also seen that movie, but I literally remember nothing about it. And then our next two Thursday bonus episodes on the 14th, we are reviewing The Werewolf, where you will only be allowed to say Werewolf with a German accent.
Is there going to be a punishment game if anyone fucks up?
Then you're off the episode.
Here's the gag.
All right, Daniel, leave. 5 minutes in. Or no, you could sit there and listen. You just can't talk.
I just can't talk.
Yeah, that's great. That'll be the rule. All right, and then the next Thursday, September 21st, is the next Alien-a-thon episode, Alien versus Predator Requiem. So after that, we have two more. I actually had a conversation with Ron today about what we're going to do after Alien. He's up for more marathons, and we kicked around a couple ideas. I don't think either of us will be happy with any of them, but it will be content.
Was it Valerian again?
Just do Valerian again.
This time do it live.
Valerian, 3 months later. Has your opinion changed? No, not really.
That would be another fun one to do a commentary track for.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, thank you to our patrons, Abigail the Ferris Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan,
the Full Metal Patron.
And Ben,
the fourth
Patron of Hope.
Ben Kenobi! And Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which sponsors the Alien-a-thon. You can visit them at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and say hello to Ronald III, Grampus of Christmas. And I've just realized, I copy him. I have like a template for all our outline notes, and I've had Ronald misspelled on like all of them. Ronald. That's cool. All right. Thanks for rewatching Alien versus Predator and recording with me.
You're welcome, Ryan. I love you.
Yeah, love you too. I'm glad you're back. Glad you're home safe. Thank you to all our patrons. Thank you for listening, and stay scary.
Stay scary, everybody.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to thehorrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.